Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I'm on SAP Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We have TalkCast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call us on the phone, just dial 724-444-7444. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702. And if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to reach me via Skype, my Skype ID is FranzGames, FranzGames. And of course, you can follow me on the Twitters. My account for the podcast is sfuoncall. You know this, sfuoncall on Twitter. Also, I have my personal account, Paul Franz. So you can find me there. Just go to twitter.com/PaulFranz. It's PaulFranz. And of course, my business account is Franz Games, where I announce client updates and other news about what's going on in the above things. And of course, a lovely TalkCast gets turned to podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from ADB this week. Steve Cole is busy working on Capslog number 53. You know, the blogs and art for the Gorn Master Starship book, doing some things for Shapeways and other projects. Steve Patrick, of course, has been working what he's been working on lately, which is SAP updates and the Gorn Master Starship book. Gene has been busy working on updating the text for things on the shopping carts. Of course, been keeping busy with Facebook and interacting with all the 4,000 friends there of the page. And, of course, uploading the latest ships to Shapeways. Moving on to announcement when it comes to conventions, I got this nice little email from Sebastian. Don't have his last name. I'm sorry. I apologize. There's the second annual Battlegroup Toronto is sponsoring a SFB tournament. Battlegroup Toronto is hosting a 3-day SFB tournament. The tournament will be held at 986 Bloor Street West in Toronto, Ontario. That's Bloor, B-L-O-O-R. I might be mispronouncing it. Toronto, Ontario, M6H1L8. Playing days are Friday, July 20th, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Saturday, the 21st, is also 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. And save for Sunday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. This will be a tournament using the tournament rules. The entrance fee will be $25 per day, $45 for the entire weekend. Kids can be kids that are accompanied by an adult can attend for no charge, and visitors are welcome at no charge. So basically, if you're not playing, there's no charge. So if you want to just hang out, there's no charge. I'm sure people would love to have you come in. I was thinking about Gary Carney, and I'm hoping, I know he's in Canada, I just don't remember which part of Canada, whether it's Quebec or Ontario or where. Moving forward to the SAP Online tournaments, the Masters tournaments, still only five games have been played, and we definitely need more done there. It comes the Rat 48 tournament run by Ron Brimeyer. The tree needs to be fixing because it looks like there were some misspellings of people's call signs, and that causes issues when it comes to reporting. But so I will be working on that this weekend at the very least, possibly tomorrow. No, maybe this weekend, because my game for Rat 48, I'm actually going to be playing Paul Graves, and I'll be doing that tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. If you want to join us, come and join us. And watch me get my butt kicked. Also, when it comes to the Platinum Hat tournament run by Bill Scheller, the finals, which is Peter Bakia versus David Zinders, is set for Sunday, July 8th, 5 p.m. Eastern. So keep an eye out for that if you want to see the finals played live and not just find out what happened afterwards. Join them because I'm sure it's going to be an awesome game because Peter is flying the Gorn and David is flying the Zinni. And the funny part is, for any of you who know Peter Bakia, Peter, back in the day, his ship was the Zinni. In fact, he still has the old chits. These were the chits he used for every single tournament. And you can tell how old these things are. If you ever see him, ask him to show you the bag of the Zinni chits that he used for tournament play. And you'll see how old these things really are. They're really worn. You can still tell things on it, but, you know, it's one of those things that is kind of cool. Because I had the same thing. I had this little packet, which I used for Andromedans. Moving onward and forward, when it comes to the library, unfortunately no progress, but we have some updates for the Gorn and Fed. Both of those have some updated ships. And there was a correction for the IC Destroyer Leader. And there were some other ones that were reported, but the one wasn't quite sure if that was correct or not. Because of it was from a different SSD sheet. But anyway, moving forward, still completed conversion. It was 2,426 and yet to be converted 906. Percent complete 72.8. It's July, people. We need to get this thing done. I'm one of those people. I need to jump on it too. Because I've got all the Andromeda except for two done. So I need to look at that. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one, the only, the Paul Friends, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, we've got, well, me, we got Dave, we got Russ, and we have Andrew. How you doing, Andrew? You gonna say hello? Or are you muted?
Well, yeah, how's it going?
Going good. Staying out of trouble?
Yeah, for the most part.
Setting off any fireworks?
No, actually, I'm at that point where I go to bed early.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, normally I have to catch an early bus to Cleveland, so it's like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, I'm done.
Understood. I'm up there in age, but I've got my father's sleep pattern, which is, actually, he usually went to bed around 9, 10 o'clock. He went to bed around 9, fell asleep reading his book somewhere between 9 and 10, and then he'd get up at like 5 o'clock in the morning. That was...
Yeah, well, for me, it's more like if you catch the 6:30 or the 6:40 bus, you've got a 30-minute bus ride. If you catch the 6:50... it's 45 minutes to an hour. That's the way Cleveland traffic works.
Understood. Yeah, I know how that is. That's why I usually, I actually drive into work once a week. That's on a Tuesday. And when I drive into work, I usually get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I get on the road by 5 so I can get into work by a little bit after 6. Because if I don't do that, the farther it goes into like 6 to 7 and that, the traffic gets worse and worse and worse. And you get, of course, it takes longer and longer to get into work.
Yeah, and it's amazing what a 10-minute difference will make.
Oh, agreed. As they say, the early bird catches the worm. In this case, catches the bus and gets into work a little
less. Yeah, because honestly, let the driver deal with the problems.
Yeah, Dave, 422 can suck. Times up between Oaks and King of Prussia. Oh yeah, that's everything. Oaks and King of Prussia. And hopefully that will improve once they finish working on the bridge. But to get back to actually discussing our favorite thing in the world, which is the Starfleet Universe, whether it's SFB, FedCom Online, FedCom, Starfleet Battle Force, or other things in that. So, anything in particular that you want to talk about, Andrew, or you're just mainly just dialing in just to listen?
I'm just dialing in because I actually took a long weekend. I don't have to work tomorrow.
Wow. I do. I'm
My condolences.
That's okay. Hey, here's the great thing about working this week. Not nearly as many people are in at work or working this week, which means there's less people to bug me. So I can get some more work done.
That's actually good. That's a good point.
Well, that's what always drove me crazy with my job now, is that they now require us to take off between Christmas and New Year's. We have no choice. We have to take off that week. And that's the week I love. Let me just finish. I took that week off. I took maybe a couple of days off during that week. So then I could do exactly the same thing where there's no one around.
Actually, I see where you're coming from, but all the years I had my business, 13 years, I always tried to take that week off, and I think I did it exactly twice. There was always somebody who needed something, so now I love it.
Oh, understood. Well, when you actually have customers, that's a little different thing compared to a normal daytime job, which that's what pays the bills around here. SMB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord don't really pay the bills. they pay for themselves, and I'm able to get some additional things because of them, but they don't pay that much, you know. So, anyhow, moving onward and forward. Actually, what I was going to start off with, which I'm going to, I think I'll put that off to a little later because you weren't involved, which is, I was going to talk about Discord first, but because Dave and Russ and I, we all met up on July 4th and we tested it out. And I wanted to report my findings to people, and I'm going to do that later. So we'll start off with the Shapeways minis. Andrew, have you seen the latest minis that ADB has uploaded?
Actually, funny you should mention that. I saw the Facebook post on the Federation Battlecruisers, which, you know, I'm sure you remember I have a little affinity for the Federation. So it was actually nice to see that. I did enter this last rat tournament, and I went with the shark, but it was actually nice to see those. I haven't tried the Shapeways yet, but mm-hmm. I'm hoping to in the not too distant future.
Cool. Yeah, I haven't bought anything from there myself. I've seen some pretty nice miniatures. My biggest issue is I've bought many miniatures. I've yet to paint that many. I've painted two.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I don't have time. Actually, funny story, my brother was actually had a miniatures company for a bit, and I was thinking about sending all my 2,500 miniatures to the guys they used for their painting for their Kickstarter to try to take care of that for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's actually one thing I did before I moved. I realized I had all these miniatures that I didn't paint. And basically what I did was for people, I went, people, and this was last year. I'm not sure if you remembered it or not, which is I posted up and said, look, anybody who wants, here's the miniatures I have. I'm giving them away for free for the cost of shipping. You pay me for shipping, I will send them to you. And as it is, I didn't get rid of all of them. But I got rid of most of them, so I didn't have to take much with me. Because I went from a 3,200 square foot house to a 1,400 square foot house, so my room has to be optimized. Anything I take, I have to use. So that's why my office is really actually the funny part is my office, which has two computers in it, is not that big, but it used to be someone's bedroom. It was weird when we were actually looking at this place, and what is the main bedroom, the biggest one, which is not that big. I was like 13 by 13. That room was being used as a sewing room, sewing/craft room, where the wife was actually doing all these crafts, all these costumes and all this kind of stuff. And that was where she stored it and did everything, all the work in that room. And this room, my office, that was their bedroom, which is They had the bed here, and it was all set up, which is downstairs right off of the dining room, which, again, this room is probably 12 by 8. I think that's about right. No, so maybe even smaller than that. So it's not exactly huge. But anyhow, yeah, I as people who's listened to the podcast know, usually at the beginning of the month, I like to actually go through the updated Shapeways and just give them comments about which ones I like, which ones I don't like, which ones I thought could be improved. Ones are like, you know, they're consistent with the rest of the product line, and, you know, nothing spectacular, nothing fancy, nothing really wow, you know. But looks like next they got some good ones this time, which of course it helps that some of them that they are just put up are fighters, which always makes things quite interesting for me, which is because of they're not like normal spaceships, you know, because they usually have drones or whatever attached to them versus, you know, like, oh, a Federation cruiser, you know, it's all smooth and all, you don't have all this stuff that just it's attached to it, you know. I'm looking at right now the F-101C Voodoo Heavy Fighter. And I'm just doing a quick check here. Okay, the one that's showing is actually kind of large. It is, okay, let me switch this to inches because centimeters, I don't do well. It's 1.62 inches by 1.84 inches by basically a third of an inch. So it's actually kind of, it's pretty small, you know. But it really looks nice. I really like it a lot because it has, let me look. It looks like it's got, man, like four drones underneath the wing and two drones on top of the wing. The ones that are on top of the wing, yeah, here it is. It shows, it states it, which is they're multi-warhead drones, which I think is kind of cool because of, you know, this is actually one of the few, actually, I think the first representation I've seen, you know, in model form of a multi-warhead drone. You know, we've all seen the pictures, the drawings that ADB has done, but this actually, you can see it on attached to the actual fighter. Now, of course, this is the heavy fighter. Heavy fighter are pretty darn big fighters when it comes to fighters, that is. Compared to like, what's a good one? The Hydrin. I forget the fusion one. Do you remember the name of that?
The Stingers?
Stingers, that's it. Thank you. Like the Stinger one. That's it. That was the Stinger one. That's
yeah, fortunately I didn't have to deal with that too much in my first round rat. He brought one out real quick and then he put it back after I took a pot shot at it. Oh, and thank you for taking him out real quick because I was really hoping to actually lose to the champion, and you just dashed those dreams.
Sorry.
Hey, well, no. Now it's on you to actually win the tournament because I don't want to lose to a loser to the loser.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Boy, it's been so long since I played that game. I don't remember. But yeah, I forget which one you're talking about. Masters or Rat or...
Yeah. The latest Rat.
Okay, the latest Rat, yeah. Grim? Yes. I haven't beat Grim yet. Actually, I have to correct that.
Oh, okay. I was looking at the tournament status and it said you won.
Yeah, I have not. I'm actually going to be playing...
Okay, so there's still hope.
Yes, still hope. I need to fix the tree. Actually, I have to fix that tree for multiple reasons. Number one, I have to fix the the tree for that, for the wind, which I have not actually done. I was trying to have it so it automatically generated because of all the buys and all that kind of thing. And it did it. I did it twice accidentally, so it looks like I won, but I didn't. It actually even created the third round, and I fixed it up so it only had to show the two rounds. And I forgot to fix the second round to say, okay, I didn't win. But I'm going to be playing Paul tomorrow night, 7 o'clock Eastern time. So if you want to watch me get my butt handed to me, feel free to stop by.
Well, actually, you may never know. I mean, I actually was pretty lucky. He just happened to catch me on a day where I just wasn't into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably shouldn't have given up so quick because he was really gracious. But I just... We had lost a team at work. Like, they had decimated one of the teams, and I just needed to do something other than Starfleet battles, so I actually surrendered when I probably shouldn't have. But either way, I'll be watching, and I wish you good luck, but I still hope he wins.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah, this should be interesting, because I'm just for those people in the know, those don't know, I'm going to be flying the Romulan KR versus the Hydran. I don't play plasma torpedo ships that often. So this shall be interesting.
Well, I was playing a wine, so, you know, go figure. I never thought I would live to see that day.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Yeah, the Wibbus with the with the two phasers. Okay. So you went more of a Zinni option. Actually, it's the Klingon. Sorry, Klingon option. The Zinni option is the two drone racks. Okay. Cool. Well, hopefully I will do well. This should be interesting. Somebody tells me it might be either a short game or a long game. The good thing about, so fortunately, talk about chasing rabbits. Fortunately for me, I'm going to be flying against the Hydran, but I'm going to have plasma torpedoes. Because I've also played against the Hydran in the Andromedan and the Saltorian. They both suck against the Hydran. Because the Hydran will just come right at you. You know, and when it comes to Andromeda,
yeah.
Andromeda just dies, you know.
Well, and you always have to remember to keep those phasers handy, because the second you use all your phasers, that's when he launches the stingers, and that's when you die.
Okay, so he's the one who keeps his stingers on board for a long period of time. He doesn't put them out there as kind of roaming T-bombs?
No, he popped one out real quick when it was very safe. And when I took a pot shot, I think I only did like one damage, if even that.
Mm-hmm.
And he pulled it right back in, and it never came back out.
Yeah, though, I was just thinking about this. And what I'm wondering is if that will change for me. And here's why I think that. And that is, I've got plasma versus disruptors. Because... What did you fire, phasers, or did you fire disruptors at his fighter?
It was phasers at the fighter.
Okay, so you were close enough to actually ping it, like range 8 or something?
Actually, I think I took a long range at 9, so I ended up getting a die shift.
Yeah, that's why I asked, because I know that normally, up to, yeah. I had to check, because Chris went out to 9, you don't have a die shift. But I'd have to check that.
It might have been a little further out. I don't remember. I just remember that it was basically just a long-range pot shot just to say hello.
Oh, understood.
Because I planned on opening the range.
Mm-hmm. Oh, understood. And obviously, that I probably would want to do the same thing. Now, of course, there's always that one little trick, which is interesting. I've never done it. I'm not sure if I ever will do it because of the biggest issue with hydrants is, of course, they're Gatlings. And they can just freaking shred plasmas. And given that, there's one thing that there is a tactic which has been used. At least I've read about it in the captain's logs, which is the whole idea of using a shotgun. When the fighters are out, do a shotgun so that if the hydrant actually brings them back in, then the plasmas, all three of them would, because it'd be an S, all three of them would go directly onto the hydrant ship. Now, obviously, the biggest issue there is that has to be relatively close in to do that. And depends upon where the fires are in relation to the actual ship. Because you got three torpedoes, if you have them all in the same hex, you got four Gatling phasers, and possibly three if you can get it off center line. It's possible to get them off center line. It's a little more difficult, but it can be done. And especially if you can get the timing down so that it goes from 2 to 0, then you've got a good chance. But if it's center line, that's 4 against 3. So that's what? 16 phaser threes at range 1. So 16 times. Let me think about this. 4 times 4. Is 16 times 4 is 64. Yeah, 64 points of damage over 3 torpedoes approximately. So it can knock them down to like half. Half, maybe a little more than half. So, that might be something to think about anyway. All depends.
All I know is that hydrants scare me. The first time I ever fought one in a tournament was with the Fed, and I had just nailed the guy. I actually landed the overloads, and he's like, I think you just won this tournament. And then I fired a couple of my last phasers into him just to kind of thinking I'd finished the job. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I just won this tournament. He popped out the 2 stingers, and I was done.
Oh!
So I will never make that mistake again. And those stingers are in the bay. I will always keep 4 phaser ones good to go.
Understood. Well, here's the key. That is, you don't have to if you've got plenty of running room. Because the fighters can only go...
Well, this was like head-on. We were like neck and neck. We were like range 3.
Oh, understood.
Because I had just popped 4 overloads into it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally understood. Totally understood. I'm just pointing out there are certain cases where you don't have to worry about it. And that when you're running away and you've got plenty of room, then you don't have to worry about it. But other than that, yes, I agree. You have to keep the phasers on the ready because those little buggers, those roving nuclear space mines, is what I think Sandy Hemingway?
No, a nuclear space mine only can do 50 points of damage. These guys just ripped me to shreds.
Oh, like, I think they can do 50, given the two fusions and the one Gatling at range like 0 or 1. Out.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think they did a lot more than 50. I mean, I could be wrong, but they tore me up.
Yeah, understood. Let me think. That would.
So I wasn't going to make that same mistake with the great, with the Black Shark.
Mm-hmm. 16. Yeah. Each one can do around 36 points of damage. I think that's max. Because I'm pretty sure, no, a little less than that. I think it's like 34. Because I'm pretty sure the max damage for the fusions, non-overloaded, is 9 points of damage. Now, got 2 of them, that'll wreck any shield and give you like 30 internals. So That's all you need. Especially if you've already been beaten up by the actual main ship.
So. Yeah, all I'm saying is I learned my lesson that day. Never turn your back on stingers.
Oh, understood, understood. That's how the last, I think, Andromedan battle went, which is he nailed me against the wall and then launched it. He was like range 5, I think, when he launched his fighters. When I'm running along the wall so that, you know, the fighters could catch me. And then they caught me at range 1, and that was it. Game over.
Yeah, I'm actually hoping to get some more experience, because I think the next time I do one of these tournaments, I think I want to go Hydran.
Mm-hmm. Oh, don't get me started on Hydrans and the tournament. Just because of one of the things with the Hydrans, it was Paul Scott, who was trying to get a rated ace card in every single tournament ship. And what he tried is he actually flew that. Said, okay, everyone said the Hydran's impossible. You can't win the tournament in the Hydran. And he ran through it and died. And then, and he went, okay, that's it. Right? Hydran can't win. So after 2 times, he tried to make it through the tournament. He went through a 3rd time. He switched to the ISC.
See, actually, I don't think the Hydran's really that bad. I think you can actually win. It's the Fed I don't think you can win in.
Well, here comes... Okay, I think the Fed has a better chance than the Hydran. Here's why. The Hydran, you can knock out quite a few weapons really quickly. You can hit a drone. You can hit a drone, which is a Hellbore. So if you, it's like hitting a TR beam for Andromedan, especially with the TR heavies. When you have the 2 TR heavies, you hit 1 TR heavy out, and boom, there's half your firepower is gone. Now you can recover. It's difficult, but you can recover. It just takes you a little longer than you really want to, because of with the degradation rules, it puts you on a time clock. But that was the biggest thing, is that Mizzia kills the Hydran. Mizzia won't kill the Fed.
You might be right about that, but at the same time, the Fed can pretty much roll 4 dice at the beginning of the scenario,
mm-hmm.
and depending on that die roll, just quit.
Well, it's not now, Andrew. The big question here is what range are you firing your photons at? Because I've
closest range he'll let me get to.
Understood. Yeah, because that was one thing.
Because the thing is, you can have all the great plans in the world, but unfortunately, the guy in the other ship gets a say.
Oh, agreed. And I know I read the captain's log. Let me see, when Bill Scheller won the gold hat tournament in the Fed. He said the plan of attack was to get to range 2 and then fire the photons at range 2. So basically the idea was to minimize the amount of the die roll had to play into him winning or losing.
Yeah, and I'm only half kidding. I mean, you can win. It's just... I really just wish the Fed Tournament Cruiser had a G-Rack or an ADD. That would really make a big difference.
Oh, agreed. And
at least in my opinion.
Oh, agreed. And the big question is, does it need it? And I only say that because of that. It's always, to convince ADB to change any of the ships at this point in time, because they haven't changed it, in 10 years or more? Probably more at this point.
Well, wasn't there an actual tournament cruiser variant that had a G-Rack?
Well, there is one that actually has a G-Rack, and this was basically for playtest. It's not an official playtest for ADB, but it's a playtest ship that people use because of we want to try that out. We want to try to see can that actually make a difference? Can it make it a more viable ship? You know, do I agree that?
Well, because I think the problem with the Phaser 1 is that it just the numbers on the Phaser 1 can't guarantee a kill. So you almost have to use two Phaser 1s if you want to guarantee a kill, even at closer ranges. And so now you're wasting firepower to try to take out these little drones more than the other ships have to that have things like Gatlings and ADDs.
Hmm. Yeah, but not that many ships have ADDs. The only ship that actually exists in the tournament that has an ADD rack is the Klingon. Everybody else does not have it. And is there any other ship that would you take? I know some people toyed with it, which is adding an ad rack to the Wynn, to the Wynn Black Shark. There are some people.
Actually, I did consider that in this last tournament. I did consider it. And the only reason I went with the Phaser 1 was because, do you remember the Starfleet Command game that Taldron Software made?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The best ship I found in that game for the Federation was the heavy battle cruiser that had the two phasers instead of the drones or F-Torps or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I actually went with the two Phaser 1s with the Black Shark this time, because I thought that might be a better tactical option,
mm-hmm.
but I did seriously consider the ADD.
Understood. Yeah, I think I might have taken it once just for giggles, but for the most part, most people, when it comes to either the Winds or the Orions, will not take an ad rack. So that means everybody else, what are they using? They're using Phaser 3s. Just like, which is what the Fed has to do. So, so I can see, possibly adding two 360 Phaser 3s to make it kind of even, to balance it out so it has a little more drone defense. Do I like adding the G-Rack instead? Yes, I do. And don't give the Fed any points for upgrades, and probably have a fixed set of load. This is what your load is. You got four spaces, and you've got four. Let's say half of it filled. I say half of it filled with ad racks, ads, and two with drones. So you have four ads, four and two drones, and they're all. And that's it.
Yeah, and for the record, I actually don't even really care about the G-Rack. If they just made it a straight ADD rack, I'd be fine with that.
I prefer...
That's all I do with a G-Rack anyway.
I understand, but that's why I prefer a G-Rack. And that is because of the G-Rack limits the number of ad rounds compared to a regular ad rack. And a regular ad rack has 12 rounds. Any of you force it to have some dogfights, like the Klingon. The Klingon has two dogfights and 10 rounds, if I call it correctly. In which case, still, that's 10 rounds of anti-drone. Having it as a G-Rack, one, stays true to the Fed as an overall empire when it comes to the way the ship were designed. Because I don't think the Federation had that many ad racks. Most of them were G racks. So it remains true to that. That's number one. Number two, it limits the how much additional defense that the Fed gets at that point. So that if that's too much, okay, it's too much. And we can if that's too much. Then you know what we got to do? Change it to Phaser 3s. But
yeah, I mean, I guess I just never understood it because, the Fed's primary enemy is a major drone race, so...
Yeah, well...
Yeah, well, you know, whatever.
The whole idea... Yeah. Well, come on, Andrew.
You don't need to defend against that.
It's about balance. That's the key. Currently, the Fed does not play as well because of it needs better drone defense. And that's what an ADRAC or a GRAC would add. That's all it would add for. In theory, you could also use it for knocking down shuttles or fighters. But fighters, if you get within range 3 of a fighter when it comes to a Gorn, sorry, not Gorn, Hydran. I don't know why I said Gorn. Got Gorn, probably because I got Gorn right in front of me. Because I'm looking at the list for Shapeways. But anyhow, because of that, if you get the range 3, what's the Hydra fighter going to do? He's going to fire at that point, you know, because one of them might actually get killed.
Actually, yeah, and you know, to be honest, you know, I'm not the best player anyway, so, you know, this could all be sour grapes, but it seems to me that the Fed just needs a little something, because the only players that actually seem to win in the Fed are, like, the rock stars.
Understood.
I really just don't see better-than-average players winning in the Fed. You know, it's like you can see them win sometimes in other ships, but it's like if you look at the list of players who win a tournament in a Fed, they are the rock stars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're the guys who – pretty much win in anything. You could put them in a shuttle and they'd probably at least get to round 2. You know, and I don't know if that's a problem, you know, with the ship design or just maybe that people just aren't playing those ships correctly.
Right.
But
that's always the
I have played Fed for a long time and I just, that is the one thing I always notice, is that I have to spend so much offensive potential taking out drones and other seeking weapons that it seems like the other race, the other governments or whatever we call them this week.
Empires.
Don't have to do that. Empires. Thank you. They don't have to waste as much. Because, I mean, if you look at the Fed, you're talking about Phaser 3s. The Fed does not have many Phaser 3s. They have Phaser 1s out the wazoo, but get out of the range 1 or 2, a Phaser 1, a guaranteed kill on a drone, it's not going to happen. You've got to commit 2. And at that point, you're just wasting your offensive potential.
Oh, understood. But I guess I don't really see it. I will have to agree with you that I think having the Fed to have a GRAC, I think that'd be kind of cause a cool idea. I think it would be to the betterment of the Fed. And I obviously it would be a betterment, duh, because you're adding something. Would it make it more playable? Probably not. Remember, it only helps versus drones. It doesn't help versus plasma. But I don't think anything for any of the empires helps with plasma. The only thing that helps with plasma is a cloak.
But the thing is, a Phaser 1 fired at a plasma, you're not wasting your offensive potential. If you put 2 Phaser 1s against the plasma, that's all going against that plasma. The thing is, like, if you have to use 4 points to kill a drone and you can't guarantee 4 points, then I got to put 2 Phaser 1s. So maybe to get those 4 points guaranteed, I've got to waste maybe 6 or 7 points of offensive potential.
Understood.
Whereas if I put all that in a plasma, that's all in the plasma. So basically what I'm getting at is the Fed has to guarantee not getting attacked by that drone, you've got to overkill that drone massively.
Possibly. Obviously, I okay. I disagree with you on it decreasing the offensive potential, because that is the function of both drones and plasma. They're to sap your strength, to sap your defenses, i.e., most part, phasers. Either they're used for either having so that you have to use your phasers because if you want to come in for attack, or you have to run. Those are the only two choices when it comes to either one of those. So if you don't want to fire, you have to run, no matter who you are. Even with the drones, you know, for most part, yeah, you have the one, you know, the Klingons with the ADRAC. You've got obviously the phaser Gs for the Hydrans. The Seltorian has four phaser threes. Obviously the wind, the GBS has five phaser threes, you know, so overall it's got a good collection of defensive weaponry when it comes to phasers. So in other words, in that case, what that's saying is that for that, all the Fed needs is two phaser threes because of, when it comes to drone defense, if you got the time and you want to knock down the drones, you can fire phaser one as a phaser three. And then, of course, if it does not kill it, I understand you want the auto kill because you want to go for range one and have it so it kills it and it's done. But at the same time, you know, you might have to take a chance, which is what everyone else does. Because that's what I do. You know, I'll fire a phaser three or a phaser one as a phaser three. It's rare unless I'm coming directly in for an attack run where I need to guarantee the kill and I can't afford to get that drone to hit that shield. Because, you know, there's always... The thing is, of course, obviously, you don't want the drone to hit the shield. But at the same time, what you're going to want... You might want to do is say, well, you know, I can let it... I'll try to hit it. If I don't kill it, fine. I can take it on a side shield and I can keep going. You know? Does it put you at a disadvantage? Yeah, it does. But at that point, you want the offensive potential than you want for, you know, guaranteeing the kill of the drone. So, at least that's the way I see
it. And those are all good points. I mean... And like I said before, I'm willing to accept that maybe I'm just not, you know, the best at this. You know, I definitely have kind of led a sheltered life when it comes to this. You know, a lot of the opponents I play are local and not experienced. So then when I get into the tournament zone, it's, you know, people with a lot more experience. And that's fun. You know, it's good. But
that's the only way you know, improve.
At the end of the day, yeah, it's like, you know, it's like, I don't know if maybe the Fed fits the tactical style that I tend to subscribe to.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Yeah. I tend to, that's one thing with the Seltorian, when it comes to tactical play, there's two ways of playing the Seltorian, and I always have to, I think of it at the beginning of each game, I have to figure out, okay, which approach am I going to take? Because there's two different approaches. One, forget it. Forget the well wheels. Don't use them. Don't, you know, even if you're flying against a plasma or a drone race, screw them. Don't use them. Which means you're going to put that energy, put that power that you're going to say, okay, I'm going to use pure speed against this opponent. I'm gonna knock down the drones with phasers if I have to, limit when it comes to the plasma damage by using phasers and running. Now you can do that, or you can go with a slow approach, which is, okay, every once in a while basically stop and spin, which I hate that idea of sitting and spinning. Because the most difficult part about sitting in
spin... Like Star Castle or...
Yeah, Star Castle. The whole idea is to go slow Wild Weasel, and then run off. Now, I've done that where I've used the Wild Weasel, and the problem is that invariably, when you're going against plasma races, unless you actually hit him while he's low on plasma, you're not going to win. Because invariably what happened last game when I played like that was that I would fly in, he launches plasma, at the beginning of the turn, I'd be down to like speed 4 so that, you know, I could launch the Wild Weasel, and then I'd speed back up to maybe speed 14. But during that time, what did he do? He ran away. So he kept on doing this until I ran out of shuttles. In which case, I was doomed at that point.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I'm always afraid to do the Wild Weasel. It's like, this can come back to bite me in so many ways, and I'm just not good enough to get around it, so.
Uh-oh. I think Andrew is on a cell phone, and his cell phone died. Yeah, that, or he lost power. Or someone not along that line. No, I did not cut him off. For all you out there. But hopefully Andrew will come back. In the meantime, instead of going off on the Shapeways, we'll put those up. I'm going to do this. Shapeway, I'm going to put that off to next week. Because we only hit one, which was the Fed F101C. Oh, yeah. Agreed, Russ. I was enjoying it, too. Hopefully, Andrew can come back. I'm assuming at the moment that his phone died. He hasn't. He's in the chat room. I'm surprised he hasn't typed something. Maybe he hasn't realized. Okay. Andrew is saying he's trying to return. In the meantime, I can give a quick rundown on our Discord session. Discord turned out pretty well. Obviously, the good parts about it was that we tried different things. It all seemed to work really good. You know, they guys seemed to like my iPad's microphone better than this microphone, so I'm not sure why. I'm not sure whether it's because if it's brighter, because this one probably, this microphone here is kind of lower resonance. Also have the pop filter so that you don't hear the, you know, anyone who knows what a pop filter is, you know what it's for. But anyway, Andrew, I'll get back to you in just a moment. Let me just finish the Discord update. So, with that, it seems good. I was able to limit people who want to be in the room, but I can have it so they cannot post if they become unruly. Also, I have the ability to kick them or ban them completely from the server. Now, I don't... Here's the tough part. The tough part about... If we move to Discord, the tough part about that would be that you would actually have to sign up for an account. Unlike TalkShoe allows you to join and be a guest, have a kind of guest account. Discord does not let you have a guest account. You must actually register for an account, have an email address, and all that kind of thing. When it comes to the web browsers, some of the web browsers actually allow you to enable the microphone. Also, only certain browsers actually allow you to listen. It doesn't support Safari or Internet Explorer when it comes to the microphone, or I think either the audio either. Okay. Dave just mentioned that he didn't need, I kicked him and he logged back in and it looked like it was a new account, but according to Dave, he did not actually create a new account. Which is good to hear. It just looks like it was a new account. But I can basically, so if someone's being unruly, I can kick them off. which is good. And also, if I need to... Okay. Dave's just mentioning he did create a new account, but he didn't have to. That was an accident. Okay. But okay, that just means that when people get kicked, it just gets a little confusing for that, which I'm not too concerned about that, too terribly concerned about. If I kick someone off, that they're going to be confused. Because someone, in my mind, if someone's being unruly, most probably they're people who know about Discord. Because that's the same thing with the talk shoe. I'm sure for people who are actually in the chat room, they know we've had some minor issues here and there. It's rare. But every once in a while, we have some butt face logging in, checking us out, deciding that they want to be a racist or some other things that just don't go, I do not abide by, and I will then kick them out. Or some of them have called in, and I still remember one, which was an interesting conversation. Then what it got down to with the last question they had, it's like, oh, do you think, you know, when it comes to humans and aliens having sex? And it's like, okay. So we went there. So there we go. Yeah, we was a discussion about Star Trek and all that. But I mentioned, I forget if I don't remember if I cut that out of the podcast or not. I'm sure someone who actually listens to the podcast could tell me. I think I did not. Though there was one where it was just this weird sound that this person made. And I think I cut that out. And there's sometimes actually I've edited the podcast, the live podcast, to get rid of certain things. In some cases, it's just, maybe it's just a cleanup, i.e. there's sometimes I've had to like open the door or something like that for my cats that get stuck in my office. And so there'd be this big blank bit of air and I'll delete that. Or in some cases, when it comes to Andrew, something tells me with Andrew tonight, I'm going to have to adjust the volume levels, because invariably when it comes to TalkShoe and Skype, the volume levels suck dirt when it comes to recording. Ah, yes. Ross, thank you. This reminded me, there was a phone and cough guy. You know. So I don't remember what I did with him. I might have trimmed him out or not. I don't remember off the top of my head. But anyhow, but that allows us to have the control that we want for people. As I mentioned, the biggest issue at the moment that I see is that A to B, I have to figure out how to get it so that I can log into use both Skype and Discord at the same time. I think I can do that. I just have to set up Audio Hijack so that I can connect up the microphone and Skype and Discord and have that all communicate. I just got to figure out exactly how to link them together. I might require a little bit of working. And I might even have to, there's a guy named Dave Hamilton, anyone who knows the Mac Geek Gab. Also Mac Gig Gab. Gig Gab. I said, yeah. Which is, Gig Gab is about audio, you know, bands and all that kind of thing. And they're talking, that's what they talk about. So, but anyhow, yeah, he might, if I try and I have problems, he volunteered himself, like, if you have real issues and you're unable to figure this out, you know, contact me and I will show him. If I have to, I'll take a picture of what I've got. And he say, well, this is what you did wrong. You know, because he has more experience. I've got to take control of Audio Hijack. So hopefully that will also help me. So I won't have to contact him if possible. I'm hoping I don't have to. I don't want to have to bother him if I don't have to. But if I can't figure it out, I will grab him. I contacted him like over a year about, can you do this? And he's like, yeah, you can. It's like, okay, so. Because that's when I was thinking about moving. Or at least have it so that there's multiple. So the idea with that case was to add an actual stream server so I could actually do the streaming myself. But you know, Discord I think would be better. And actually, I've got to check out Discord. One more thing I want to check out with Discord was, looks like they support video, which would I think would be kind of cool. And if I could get it so that in Discord I actually can share my screen, that would be fantastic. Because in the case of this, only episode like this where I want to talk about the minis, that actually does a great job. So, I'm going to unmute Andrew. Hey, Andrew. I'm just wanted to get people caught up on the Discord test.
Okay, so was I too loud before? Was that the problem?
No. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do
Well, no, I mean through Skype. Was that what you were talking about, volume issues? Was that too loud? Or
No. What normally happens is when I'm recording with Piezo is that it seems like on your side, when I record it on my side, the volume level is low when it comes to recording. Now, in my ears, it's fine. It's only when only the recording that it's low. So, in other words, I will probably have to tweak up your volume level because I've yet to find a replacement for a Levelator app, and the Levelator app doesn't work at the moment on my version.
So, are the other people hearing me too softly?
No. Well, I think Dave and Russ, please tell me if Dave and Russ, if tell me if,
because that is usually not one of my problems.
Yeah. Is Drew sound fine to you? Because he sounds fine to me, and I'm assuming since it sounds fine to me, it sounds fine to you because we're talking through TalkShoe. Yep, Dave's saying he hears you just fine. Exactly, and that's why I figured that they hear you just fine. And
okay, I'm only asking because sometimes I use this for office meetings when I have to work remotely, and a lot of the times we barely hear each other, even though we're in on Skype. On the meeting, we have a lot of trouble hearing each other in the actual conference room for those who are at work.
Oh, okay. Well, also, so the people that are around the phone at work in the conference room, people that are remote have a hard time hearing them? Is that what you're saying?
Sometimes.
Okay.
The other half the time, it's like it's either feast or famine. It's either like you're screaming in my ear, or I can't hear you. Stop whispering.
Okay. Well, to me, that almost sounds like the people are the microphone, or either they're too far away from the table. I mean, from the phone, or they don't have a good enough microphone. You know.
Yeah, because like right now I'm wearing a headset.
Mm-hmm. Right. Me too. I got a headset on. I've got my mic in front of me. So, even though there's actually a mic built into this thing, though I don't like the microphone that's built into this headphone, just because of it is kind of, I was gonna say clippy, but it doesn't have as much sound quality. It's not nearly as good in my mind, but it's not designed for capturing the voice well. It's designed for playing games. That's what the headset I got is for playing games. But I never used the microphone part of it. But anyhow.
Aren't they really all for playing games?
No. There are some
really. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I understand. But there's some really nice headphones designed for like listening to music. Unfortunately, I don't have any of those. And I've looked at the prices, like $250. And went, oh, no. I don't need.
Yeah, I need some of those on the bus in the morning.
Hmm. Yeah,
there's always that one guy who just has to have that long phone conversation.
That's when can you just go talk in the cone of silence? Can you have your portable cone of silence with you? You know,
I swear, if I could find a cell phone signal blocker, I would probably get one.
You do realize those are illegal.
Only if they catch you.
Well, do enough
and
time.
I think my fellow passengers would probably protect me.
Possibly. But just make sure the FCC doesn't catch you. I think it's FCC. Yeah, they're the ones who have the radio vans that drive around. But if there's an issue, because you can if there's a problem with too much noise, the FCC will send out a van. Most of the time, the people.
There's this one guy on the bus I ride most of the time, and like he gets on the bus, he talks to his girlfriend, and it's like 45 minutes of yeah. Okay, and it's like really, really, really.
This is a really deep conversation, I can tell. Anyhow, getting back to the tournament ships, and as Russ was pointing out, he was enjoying the tactical session on tournament play. When it comes to the Saltorian, you know, we both agree when it comes to just play. That is, wild weasels can be hard to use overall because of you pay the price is what you do, because you stop and your opponent just goes bye bye, zoom and zooms away. You know, so.
I think the problem with the wild weasel is kind of touching on what I said before, where when you pop out a wild weasel, you've got a plan, and you've got to execute that plan. The problem is your opponent has a say in that plan, and if your opponent doesn't do what you think he's going to do, then you're kind of in a bad place.
Well... see, that's why when it comes to any tactics that you use, obviously you have to think, okay, this is what I'm going to use. How is my opponent going to try to counter it? And then you go back and forth. The whole idea is to guess what your opponent will do in reaction to what you're doing. That is all part of the thought processes when it comes to using what tactics you're going to use, how you're going to play it.
Yeah, but the problem is with the wild weasel, you're under certain restrictions. And if you violate those restrictions, then the wild weasel is voided and all of the bad that you are trying to avoid is now coming upon you at the same time your opponent is coming upon you. You know, it's like maybe I have a plan and I think my opponent's going to turn left instead of right. I can adjust to that. But now I'm under the restrictions of a wild weasel. And if I violate the wild weasel, well, now I've got all that stuff coming at me that I was trying to not come at me, in addition to the fact that the guy threw a monkey wrench in my plan. And now I got to deal with him doing something I didn't think was going to happen.
Oh, understood. Obviously, the big... That there's so much when it comes to wild weasels. Now, obviously, you never want to have a single wild weasel ready. You want two always at the ready when you're actually using wild weasels, because of there's always so many situations. Oh Lord, because you can have a situation where your opponent decides he's going to come in close, and the drones are going to be coming in after him, and you've already wild weaseled. The whole idea was that so he could not tractor you. But if he comes in, thwacks you, takes, is willing to have the penalty of the ECM because of the wild weasel, you can, if you want to, and assuming that his timing's not perfect, you can actually, next impulse, after he does it, shoots his wad, that you can, at that point, fire. He'll probably turn away at that point. Then you can fire at him. Now, obviously, you avoid the weasel. But after you fire, assuming that the drones are far enough away or Now, it must be drones because you can't really outrun plasma. In that case, what you can do is, you know, launch another wild weasel. Yes, you avoid the second one, but you're still, you're slow enough or whatever other things that are required, you can launch another wild weasel to have another one, you know. So that's a possibility. Now, so here's the one thing you always have to keep in mind, which it comes to any resource, period. Don't get so stuck in your thought process and what you need to do because you're afraid to waste something. Waste a drone, waste a plasma, waste a wild weasel. When you get into that idea of that fear, the fear of wasting, you're going to lose out on tactical opportunities. At least that's the way I see it.
No, actually, that makes a lot of sense. And I think, you know, sometimes people get into that. And that's actually one of the reasons why I won't use a wild weasel. And maybe I should rethink that. But a lot of the time, it's just I look at the restrictions and I'm like, no, that's just not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe that's why a lot of players don't use that option when they really could. And not thinking about that and the restrictions is why people do it when they probably shouldn't.
Yeah. And the biggest thing is, I just pointed out, which is not to be afraid of voiding the weasel, taking the advantage of the opportunity given you, and then popping on another wild weasel to save your butt. You know, because if an opponent is going to come up to you and wail on you at like range one and take the shift, you got to take it. But when he runs away, and assuming that the drones aren't right there on top of you, why not to say, okay, screw it, guy. I got to use what is it? Passive fire control to fire at him. Now I've got to double check on the limitations of said passive fire control. I think like range is like double is what it is. In which case, okay, he goes from what range maybe two to like range four. Still, that's a good bit of damage you can do, especially with phaser ones. So, you know, it tactics are always, you know, tough. You know, as I said, it's always about the back and forth, which is what tactics to use and when to decide. Okay, this tactic's not working, and hopefully decide before it's too late. You know. So anyway, I think with that, Andrew, we will wrap this up. It's been a pleasure talking to you, especially about tactics and the tournament. Hopefully I will be – this will be interesting. This should be really interesting when it comes to playing against Paul Graves and the Hydran. Because, as I said, I've never flown this ship before, ever. So I wanted to play something different. I thought about doing the King Eagle and went, no, I really don't feel like playing the King Eagle. I could play the Firehawk. You know, that's okay. You know, I can get into that. But then I went, oh, what the heck? You know, let's try the Romulan KR. Let's try it. You know, no one, it's rarely a person actually plays it. And it's not like it's a bad ship. It's not like the LDR in my mind. Oh, that's a tough ship. I cannot play the LDR. I suck. Overall, you know, I suck flying the LDR. So
yeah, sorry, I'm not sure why I'm having these issues.
Understood. That's fine. I'm not sure what you missed, but
I actually didn't miss anything because I could hear you. Because I was logged into the chat room,
right?
But I couldn't talk.
Understood. But, you know, to the arcade art, I think it should be interesting to see. I probably should see if I can find my tournament tactics manual. Just to give me an idea of a good approach at the moment. Plasma versus Hydran, you know? But what's a good approach?
Yeah, well, I do hope you give him the best run because, like I said, I don't want to lose to losers, and I don't want to lose to guys who lose to losers, so you need to put up a good fight.
Oh, I will. I definitely will put up a good fight. And
then lose.
I don't know. Depends.
I'm just joking. I'm kidding.
Oh, understood. It should be interesting, as I said, because I don't play Plasma that often. I definitely do not want to play Fed just because the big issue I find with the Fed, it is an energy suck. After you fire those photons for the first time, recharge them sucks dirt.
Seriously, Father, you're preaching to the choir.
Yeah. Oh, understood. Yeah, because it's like 4 points to fully overload both your photon takes 4-4. You have four of these suckers. That's 16-16. What are you going to be doing during that time? Not moving much. So
contemplating how you're going to write up the I surrender speech.
Right. Actually, in that case, I don't think most people do is actually only charge, either do partial overloads or they only do overload two of the photons, which is probably a better approach because of if one of your photons dies because of internals, then you can take non-overloaded one that you're not charging for overloads and you can save energy and not have that wasted.
Actually, I'll tell you something that actually kind of half worked. And it really blew my enemy's mind. After the first salvo, which of course didn't hit, but I went with prox photons and I took out his scatter packs and, you know, did some, you know, plinking at long range. And that was like a big shock because I don't know how many people actually do the prox photons at long range, but if you're willing to do that long turn, you know, keep the range far away and hit them with the little proximity photons, that might actually end up being a viable, you know, plan.
Oh, I agree. It's an interesting idea. Definitely catch your opponent off guard, especially if he says, "Oh, I'm a far enough range. He's not going to fire anything at me if I show a down shield or, you know, a very weak shield. You know, like I have one box shield. You know, but and then you fire proximity photons at them and you hit, and they go, dang, that was 10 internals. You know,
the problem is for the Fed, that is not a power cost effective solution.
Oh, I agree there. You want something closer. I agree, but
the guy definitely had a WTF moment.
Oh, agreed. Exactly. That in some cases, ask any, champion like Bill Scheller or so forth. Sometimes they lose against the dumbest opponents. Why? Because dumbest opponents do things that normally, if you think things out, what is the best thing to do? They don't do it. And it really knocks you off your game. So, you know, sometimes doing the things that are completely unexpected can win you the game. You know? So it might be suboptimal, but it wins you the game because it's so unusual. It's like, okay, the person thought they could, they know what they're thinking. Now they're like, okay, what is he thinking? Oh, he won't do this. You know, that'd be suicide to do this. So I'll do this. And it's like, he does that. It's like, what the heck? I didn't plan for that. You know? So.
Well, I'd like to say that story ended with me winning, but it didn't. But at least, you know, he got a wake-up call for a few moments.
Right, exactly. I agree. Okay, well, Andrew, I will let you go, and I will end this thing because I also have to wake up my daughter. But more importantly, it's been we've talked long enough, and it's been a pleasure talking to you. So You have a good night.
Have a good night.
Okay, bye. So we had a nice little discussion there about tournaments and tactics used and abused. And a quick update on the Discord. And I will keep you guys up to date on whether we actually do the move. We decide to eschew TalkShoe and move over to using Discord for the live show. And if we do, I will warn everyone. And hopefully, I'll give you a good month warning beforehand. And I'll probably even post it on the discussion board and on Twitter and every place I can think of. So that if people want to join us in Discord, they can, which would be fantastic. Yes, Andrew, I definitely want to talk about Starfleet Marines on the client sometime. Ooh, okay, I will see what I can do about that. Sorry, Andrew was pointing out that he's got interested in a small campaign for Starfleet Marines because I got some of it done, but I still got quite a bit to work on. I got, for a minimalistic approach when it comes to the client, when it comes to Starfleet Marines, I have to figure out what I want to do because I originally was going to try to figure out the movement cost, but I think I might have to eschew that for the first round. Okay. Oh, cool. Andrew's saying it's a combined SAB Starfleet Marines campaign, which would be kind of cool. Anyway, well, we'll wrap up. So, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.